Next surah is Surah Abasa. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma wa ma yudrika la'allahu yazzakka aw yadhakkaru fatanfa'ahu adh-dhikra. A very important surah. Very strong message. And very clear message at the same time. There was a Sahabi whose name was Abdullah ibn Maktoum radiyallahu anhu. That Sahabi was blind. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to the leaders of Quraysh. And he had a great hope that these people paying attention to me so they might get into Islam, and they were showing their interest in becoming Muslims also. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging them, talking to them about Islam. And this Sahabi, the blind Sahabi, Abdullah bin Maktoum radiyallahu anhu, of course he's blind. So he doesn't know what's going on. He knows that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking to some people, but he had his own question. And he wanted to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that question. So he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reply to him. He again insisted. And he doesn't know what's the reason he's not getting the answer. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to pay full attention to those leaders of Quraysh, because he knows that this person is already Muslim. He was a Muslim at that time. He knows that he's a Muslim already. And he's my Sahabi, he won't mind me talking to these people. So he can wait and he should wait. And I'm talking to these people. Let me finish talking to these people. It's important that I continue talking to these people at this time, because if they will become Muslims, then the rest of the people of Quraysh will also accept Islam. So he has his own reason for continuing to pay attention to those people and neglecting this person. When he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a couple of times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not feel too good about it. And he turned his face away from him. These ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abasa wa tawalla. He frowned and turned away. He frowned. He made his face as he's upset. He doesn't want to. He's showing that. Of course, the blind man doesn't know it. But the Lord of the blind man can see it. The blind man doesn't know. All he knows that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not want to reply to me at that time. And he stops questioning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that. And even though the blind man doesn't know that Rasulullah, how the looking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether he's smiling and saying no, or he's showing his anger and saying no. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through him wanted to teach the whole ummah a lesson. What's the lesson? We'll go back to that lesson soon, insha'Allah. But let me go back to another very important message. That is the first message we learned from this ayah. And that is, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them against sins. But they used to make some minor mistakes. And we need to remember the difference between a sin and a mistake. The reason I have to clarify this, because there was a time when someone put it even on the internet, mentioning this ayah, that see, you people say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never committed a sin, but here's, he committed a sin. This is not a sin. We have to know the difference between a sin and a mistake. Sin is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't do it, it's haram for you to do it. And then the person still goes ahead and do it, that's a sin. But something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have not given us any instructions about it. It's not a sin to do it. Even though if later on that thing will become forbidden in Islam, at that time is not sin. But taking this order, even later on, is not forbidden. For example, if you're talking to someone, and another person comes and talks to us, and he wants to get a question answered by us, it's not a sin to say to that person, I can't talk to you at this time, let me finish talking to this man first. It's not a sin. But That's a different lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us over there in this ayah about that blind man and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should have treated him. That's a lesson that inshallah I will talk about it in little detail at least very soon inshallah in a few minutes. But finishing the first subject. And that is the mistakes of Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. Remember, this was not a big mistake. Even, of course, we know for sure it's not a sin. But even out of mistakes, it wasn't a big mistake. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught me the morals, and accordingly, He taught me the best manners. Which means He did not leave the minor mistake, the smallest mistake in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never let it go. With our children, many times, with people that live with us, people that are under us, when we know that we are supposed to behave, treat these people well, and at the same time, we are supposed to teach them the good manners and teach them respect. Many times we just neglect most of the things, minor things, that let him do this. Once he will do a major one, then we will try to correct him for that. But when it came to the prophets of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even let any minor mistake in this life, just in their life, just go by without correcting them that mistake. He corrected each and everything they did in their life. And accordingly, we can say that prophets of Allah, of course, they never committed sin, and they never continued doing any mistake. As soon as they did it, they were corrected right away, and right away their life was perfect. And before their death, every prophet of Allah died in the status that he had not even a single mistake doing, he's not committing even a mistake in his life. Depending on what type of mistake they made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected that mistake in the same manner. For example, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a mistake, he forgot to say insha'Allah. Jews came to ask him some questions. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 3 questions. And he forgot to say, insha'Allah, I will reply to these questions tomorrow. I will give you the reply tomorrow, insha'Allah. He said, I will give you the reply tomorrow. Come to me tomorrow. Next day they came, and there is no revelation. He says, come tomorrow. And still there is no revelation. Now he remembers that he forgot to say, insha'Allah. He says, insha'Allah, yet the revelation was delayed for 15 days. Imagine. Correcting the mistake of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. For 15 days, that he did not receive the wahi, did not receive the revelations. The revelation came after 15 days. And this shows us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was correcting the mistakes of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. With us, how many times we forget insha'Allah. We never get punished for that. Because it's not a sin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not holding us accountable for every mistake we do. We commit a lot of sins in our life. But for Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected each and every mistake in the life. So for one, insha'Allah, the wahi was delayed for 15 days. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made another mistake. Once he was giving a lecture in Bani Israel, and he was asked, who is the most knowledgeable person in the world? And he replied, Ana, me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected that mistake by sending him to another person. Go over there. Go to Al-Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. He had to go through all of that journey. He became tired also, as Quran says, لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِن سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبَا. We got even tired by this journey. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected that mistake in that way. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam made a mistake. He said to his people that after 3 days you will be getting the punishment of Allah. And when he saw the signs of the punishment of Allah, he left the city. He left that town. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to correct that mistake. Why did not you wait till you will get my permission to leave? Yes? You saw the signs of the azab, and he thought that now I'm supposed to leave because the signs of azab are there. And I should not be in the town where the azab is coming. So I should leave. But Yet he was not ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave. And Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are not allowed to leave any town or to do anything and to have any journey without having an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one of the last people to migrate from Makkah to Medina. Rest of the peace sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa migrated. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still in Makkah. He's telling people go and he's not going himself. Why? He does not have the permission from Allah yet. He does not have his passport stamped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying now you have the valid visa to go. And until he got that permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was in Makkah. And finally one day when he got the permission, then he went and took Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with him and he went to Medina Munawwara. Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam made that mistake. And we all know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was not a sin. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected that mistake. And we know that how he corrected that mistake. He was thrown in the ocean and swallowed by a well and stayed in the stomach of well for many days. And finally, one dua, Rabbi inni zalamtu, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And because of that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him and forgave his mistake. The mistake was forgiven and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got him out of the ocean. So Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, they made some minor mistakes, and whenever they made a mistake, the mistake was corrected, but they were protected against all type of sins. And of course when it comes to shirk, they did not commit any of those type of deeds that lead to shirk even before the prophethood. From the time of their childhood, they did not commit anything that is shirk and that leads to shirk. And the reason I have to mention this because, wal-ayazu billah, some mufassireen, and I don't know if I should call them mufassireen, those people who feel that they can explain the ayahs of Al-Quran al-Kareem and have understanding of the ayahs of Al-Quran al-Kareem, when they came to these ayahs about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to his people, when he saw the sun, he saw the stars, of course, first. He said, رَأَى كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. He saw the stars, he said, this is my Lord. فَلَمَّا أَفَلْ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْأَفْلِينَ. I don't like these things that just disappear. He saw the sun, he said the same thing. He saw this moon, he said the same thing, that this is my Lord. Some people felt that really Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam at that time, he felt that this is my Lord. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran rejected this idea. And he says, وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. This was our proof that we have given Ibrahim alayhi salam against his people. So it wasn't that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, وَالْعَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ, thought that these are his Lord. He knew who his Lord is. And Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam never commit any type of shirk. They are protected against all type of shirk. Not as وَالْعَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْعَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ. You go back to the Bible. And if you see what they say about Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, simple example about Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, wal-ayazu billah, they have said certain things that it's even difficult to narrate those things, but for our information we should know that where all of this evil is coming into them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really cursed those people who are blaming Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam for those things, and this is why they are ending up doing the same things. They say about Lut alayhi salatu wasalam in the Bible that wal-ayazu billah, he had a lot of alcohol, and because he was drunk, he committed adultery with his own daughters, and he had children from his own daughter. And similar type of things about other Anbiya alayhi salam, like Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. But of course, this is our iman. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are protected against all of these type of sins. They never commit these sins. So this was one thing. The second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us from this message, through giving this message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, of course, when we look at it, that you are talking to someone, and another person comes in, he jumps in, and he starts talking to you, should you really reply to that person? We don't have to. And even up to this day, the rule is, you can continue talking to the person that you were talking to, and you don't have to pay attention to that person who's trying to jump in. You can make him wait. You can tell him to come later on. I don't have time to talk to you at this time. Whatever. But that situation was different. What was the difference? The difference was, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew that Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiyallahu anhu is one of the very simple Sahaba, one of the poor Sahaba radwanullahi alayhi majma'een, who's very humble. These are the leaders of Quraysh. If I pay attention to this blind man, because not because of talking to another man, because of talking to a blind man who's considered very low person in the community, these kuffar of Quraysh will feel that I have insulted them and they won't talk to me anymore. Then they won't be listening, they won't be paying any attention to me anymore. So therefore, let me just stop that man for a while and continue talking to them. Rasulullah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that don't look down to any person, and especially when it comes to a Muslim wants to learn about Islam. On the other hand, there are kuffar who you feel and you think that they might accept Islam. You neglect the Muslim who is already in Islam and you want to talk to those kuffar who are not in Islam all yet, and you just feel that they might accept Islam. Because of those kuffar, you are neglecting your own Muslim. And the reason I mentioned this very clearly, and I had to mention few more words about this to make a point clear, that is something, wal-ayazu billah, many of us get involved in it nowadays also. In our masajid, we have wars in the masajid. Masajid are becoming battlefields. Why? Some people want to become bring non-Muslims into Islam. And for bringing non-Muslims into Islam, they want to use means that are against the Sharia of Islam, fight with all the Muslims, to hope that they will bring the non-Muslims into Islam. Isn't it the same thing that's applying there? We are doing the same thing. We want to bring non-Muslims into Islam and having a war against our own Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face away from that Sahabi, even though it was his mistake that he was just jumping in. But yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turning away from a Muslim and paying attention to a non-Muslim and a disbeliever. And here, to bring non-Muslims into Islam, hoping that these people will become Muslims, we keep on fighting with our own Muslims. And we break relationship with our Muslim brothers and sisters, just because we hope that non-Muslims, I will do certain things, even though Muslims don't like it, even though the Sharia doesn't want it, even though Allah doesn't approve of it, even though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not accept it, but I feel I can bring him into Islam. What Islam are we going to bring these people into? It will be just my Islam, not the Islam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the deen of Allah. They will come into my deen, my way of life, but not the way of life that was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clearly instructed in Quran al-Kareem that when a Muslim comes to you, pay attention to that Muslim, even though if he made a mistake and he jumped in, he tried to stop you from talking to those people that you are already talking to, but yet you have to pay attention to these Muslims. And especially when it comes to those people who are considered the lower class people. Because this is another mistake we make many times. This is the high class people, these are the low class people. Who divides these classes? Who made it the principle of this whole world that we say this is the high class and this is the low class? It's our understanding. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi says, after the revelation of this ayah, the people who were considered the low class people, the poor people, they became the umara, they became the leaders, and they became all the best people in the gatherings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the rich people and those who were considered high class people, they became the second class people in the gatherings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is another ayah of Quran al-Kareem that explains the very same point when the leaders of Quraysh, they put a condition to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, O Muhammad, we will come and listen to you only if you get these poor people out of your gathering, like Bilal, Suhaib radiyallahu anhum. The ayah was revealed, saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَطْرُضِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Do not force those people out of your gathering who are praying to Allah day and night. Yuriduna wajha, they are seeking the pleasure of Allah. Because of those disbelievers, Don't force these people out of those your gathering. If those people want to come and learn Islam, by being these people and sitting with these people in the same sub of these people, they are welcome into Islam. And if they don't want to sit with these people, let them out of Islam. We don't need them into Islam. وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. So basically, this is the second message we get from this ayah. There are some more points that we learn from these ayahs. Inshallah, we'll talk about them in our next sessions. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.